Sorokas, but clearly bearing themselves in a way that would have gotten Thervations executed for insolence, and two armed leopard escorts. The soldier Braylar helped gave a curt nod.
You best watch yourself.
He glanced at the pewter badge on Braylar's gambeson.
Sergeant? I'm a forgiving sort, but that would earn some odorous tasks from practically any other officer you nearly knock over. Maybe even some lashes, if you truly got unlucky.
The officer looked over the rest of our bloodied company, stopping when he saw Sofjian and Estensia.
Unless you have reason for such haste. Looks like you just had yourself some action.
His amicable demeanor clouded over.
The streets?
Aye, Lieutenant, Braylar replied. Some plaguing Thervations were being disruptive.
I heard there was some trouble brewing this morning. Serious?
No, sir. A protest over fruit prices or some such thing. Turned a little ugly, and the city watch needed a bit of help. Useless bastards, one and all. The watch, I mean. And the Thervations, so long as we're counting idiots. But we cut down the leader and the rest dispersed quick enough. Still, I'm thinking the sooner Emperor Sinead rides back into the city, the better.
The lieutenant was smiling again. Go clean yourselves up. Get some wine.
He looked at his charges.
You see, stupidity begets stupidity, and power begets power. And some of you were grumbling things might be too easy for the leopards now.
He laughed.
Once you take the noose, we will be invading and civilizing some new part of the world, or putting down foolish rebellions on our very own doorstep. There is always action to be had.
Both parties kept moving in their opposite directions. My exhaustion was getting the better of me. I had a moment of giddy relief that Braylar hadn't tried the unsuccessful quills merchant stratagem a third time.
Chapter 42.
We passed other soldiers or servants a few more times, and while our somewhat battered appearance raised eyebrows, it didn't raise alarms. We encountered one group of leopards who appeared equally bloodied and unkempt, who likely had actually been quelling some small uprising in the streets, or fighting off jackals, disguised or otherwise. Every time we saw someone else, I held my breath and kept my eyes on Vendora's back, and in each instance, we made it by unaccosted. We left the main corridor and its heavier traffic behind and walked down some narrower halls, and I was thankful everyone else was familiar with the layout, or I would have gotten hopelessly lost. We took a right turn and headed into a broader hall filled with magnificent murals depicting the emperors who had occupied the Sun Citadel since it was built, with their blazonry split between suns and the charge of their particular tower that they hailed from. I thought for a moment we might be heading to the throne room or a great hall, both of which would mean a lot more leopards about and the chances of us escaping notice or questioning dwindling. And then I saw ahead that there were a number of guards in resplendent scaled cuirasses of gold and black guarding the stairwell to a tower. As we walked closer, Braylar spoke quietly.
Sister, though this is not in your bailiwick, I suggest you look as docile and broken as possible.
Sofjian replied, I am filthy, I have lost a great deal of blood, and hope to remain conscious long enough to make all this worth it. It is not what one would really call a stretch.
Very well, he replied. And you other prisoners, do your best to look defeated as well. Even you as Morgan, though perhaps belligerent and irreverent will work in your case.
Plaguing right it will, as Morgan said.
When the party halted in front of the three steps and oak doors to the entrance of the tower, a leopard with a gold and black plume stepped forward and addressed us.
State your business.
As agreed upon, and to deflect any attention away from Thumar, Braylar stepped forward.
We have apprehended a rogue Memrodon. She needs to be returned to the frame now.
The leopard squinted as he looked at Sofjian, then seemed to recognize her.
This the one from the Jackal Tower?
The very same, Braylar replied.
Who's the other, then?
He asked, pointing at Nestensia.
Another from the Jackals, an initiate. This one escaped from their tower. Seems they're all deserters there, and I have orders to return her to the frame immediately.
The leopard was still eyeing Sovchin warily, as if he expected her to attack him with memory magic at any moment.
The Emperor's not here, and even if he was, I didn't hear anything about taking any rogue Myrmidons to the frame.
The Emperor's presence isn't required, the captain said. Her sisters in the tower will deal with her, but she has to be returned immediately. Those were the orders. She cannot risk being separate much longer, or she might just fall dead. And while I would be glad to see it, her sisters will want to put her to the question. Do you want to answer to the Emperor for allowing her to die right on the verge of entering? Because that won't be on me. You can be sure if my prisoner dies because you delayed, the Emperor will hear of it. The leopard looked uncertain, about to relent even, but then said,
I'll need to verify this, Sergeant. Protocol is all. I don't allow anyone up without express permission, and all I have is your word. And if that means your prisoner dies while we wait, well, I reckon we'll deal with that as it comes, won't we?
I heard an all-too-familiar voice from behind me, and had to resist spinning around.
So, you have her, then?
Skilano walked to the front of our group, smaller than everyone, including Rudgy, a pewter sun and leopard badge on the ash-gray doublet she wore, the rings in her nose and ears catching the light. She stopped alongside Sovchin.
I'd heard you were apprehended, but didn't really dare to believe it. Part of me hoped you'd escaped, I won't deny it. And part of me really just wanted to see the look on your face when we were reunited, and you saw just how badly you had miscalculated.
Skilana smiled crookedly.
And now that we are here together, it doesn't disappoint in the slightest. So rare when reality lives up to expectation, isn't it?
Sovchin looked unsteady on her feet. Skilana ignored her and addressed the captain of the tower guard.
Let these troops through immediately, you imbecile. My sisters need to see this Myrmidon right now.
The captain in gold and black hesitated, then said,
Fine, but these other prisoners got no reason to go. They stay. Leave the guards behind. The rest can go.
Braylar said,
Very good.
He then assigned a split of eagles and jackals to remain behind with Asmorgon and the other prisoners. The leopard captain looked over his shoulder.
Tell them to unlock the door.
One of the soldiers behind him rapped his knuckles on the thick door 5 times, and we heard wood scraping, and then the tumblers of the lock clinking loudly. The double wooden doors opened out, and the leopards stepped aside as we entered. There were 2 soldiers inside who looked over each of us as we filed past, then dropped the broad beam back in the brackets behind us and turned the large key to lock the doors again. Skilano walked ahead of us down a dimly lit hallway as Braylar led us forward, with his leopards in tow. I hadn't sensed the phantom smell Skilano projected to me when we were trying to evade Imperial pursuit, so I was stunned she was here now, walking among us. 1,000 conflicting thoughts in my head, 1/3 of them bloody. We rounded a corner, and everyone remained silent until we'd gone far enough to be out of earshot of the guards at the door. We were nearly to the stairs when Skilana started to turn around, but then Muldus was there, lurching, hunched a bit, not dexterous, but still fast, his Soroka pressed against the Myrmidon's throat. He said,
One reason. Give me one reason why I'm not to slit this skinny throat right plaguing now. Got to be one, but having a real plaguing hard time seeing it.
Braylar put his hand on the lieutenant's big shoulder.
The reason is singular, but compelling. We are in the Tower of the Frame. Without her and a battering ram, we would not be.
Oh, yep, Muldus said, still not moving the blade. Got that much. But how? Why? I see a turncoat twat who needs to be offed. That's what I plaguing see.
Skilana raised both hands slowly, licking her plump lips.
There are many of us, Myrmidons I mean, who didn't exactly appreciate being stolen. Darzak wasn't the only commander who didn't abuse us, who valued us.
Muldus reached up with his free hand and grabbed a handful of her dark hair.
You betrayed us. Led them straight to us, you little lying cunt. Straight to us. You expect me to buy that you had a change of heart? Again?
Skilana looked him in the eye.
Sinead gave me a choice. Death, or spy on you lot. Forgive me if I erred on the side of self-preservation. But I always hoped we could undo what that bastard did. And when Sofjin helped you escape, I knew what she was up to. Thought I did, anyway. So yes, I led them close enough to you that they didn't execute me for abetting, but tried to buy you as much time as I could.
Her eyes darted to me.
I sensed you were in Sunrak yesterday.
And then back to Muldus.
I could have informed the leopards. Could have led them directly to you and had you in real shackles if I had a mind to. But I reached out to Sofjin instead. So let me ask you, Lieutenant, does that seem like the sort of thing your enemy would truly do? Does it?
Braelar still had his arm on Muldus's shoulder. Sofjin told me the moment it happened, that Skilana contacted her. Muldus turned and glared at the captain.
And you didn't think it'd be a decent idea to share that little plaguing development with your officers?
Braelar nodded towards the deposed emperor.
Like you, Lieutenant, I am but a humble soldier following orders.
Thumar stepped forward.
Drop the blade, Lieutenant. You want to bark a complaint at anyone, direct it to me. But after. We have to move, now. Despite her unexpected aid, those guards might still follow up. We have little time, or less.
Muldus slowly pulled his soroka back and slid it in the scabbard. We kept walking down the hallway, and I found Rudgy looking at me with an unreadable expression that might have been curiosity, irritation, confusion, disgust, or some other womanly face that was certain to remain a mystery to me.
What? I asked.
She jerked a thumb at Skilana.
That's the one who made your knees turn to sand. So helpless you just had to kiss her.
Hot in the face and neck, I replied. I wouldn't describe it like that, but yes, that's the one I kissed.
Rudgy looked straight ahead again, grinning. Huh? Figured her for a stately beauty? But it's clear you like shorties.
That was the extent of it, before we reached the end of the hall and stopped in front of a set of spiral stairs. Skilana looked at Braelar.
Unless Sinead renovated last night, there is only one floor, several stories up. This is more minaret than tower. The frame is on that floor.
Thumar addressed the Memrodons.
In my day, we kept a contingent of guards up there, as well as a war Memrodon. Has anything changed?
Yes, Skilana said. The frame is guarded by several martial Memrodons now. Four, possibly five. There are guards as well, perhaps double that, but the Memrodons will be the real trouble.
Always plaguing awe,
Muldus growled, before turning to the captain.
What's the play, Cap?
Braelar pulled Bloodsounder off his belt.
We cannot risk Sofjin, and I am the only one who has any immunity to them. I don't know if I can withstand four or five of them at once, or for how long, but I will attack them first. Take out those I can, and draw the attention of the others. The rest of you eliminate the guards and cut down any remaining Memrodons.
Bold move, Cap, if you want to be dead right quick. Even if the Memrodons aren't enough to overwhelm you, the guards will cut you down before you cross the room to wet that flail.
Nastenzia said, I understand why Sofjin must conserve her strength, but why not have this one? Skilana, was it? Use me to amplify her power and take out your enemies in the room. I have no wish to aid in your bloodshed, but no wish to die either.
Skilana replied,
That's not really what I do. What is it you do then?
Nastenzia asked, sounding mystified.
Besides shank her allies in the back, you mean?
Muldu said.
Not a plaguing thing.
Sofjin said, Skilana is no offensive weapon, it's true, but she is excellent at obfuscation. She could use Nastenzia for that, confuse the Memrodons long enough for Braelar to close and dispatch them. With Nastenzia, any illusion you create will be absolute, at least long enough for us to enter and wreak havoc. That should be coverage enough for Braelar to approach them.
She looked at Muldus and Rudgy.
And while it might have been a while since you shot anything besides a crossbow, I trust you still remember how to use a composite bow?
Maldus looked down at the quiver on his hip, as if it contained snakes.
Probably no better than the scribbler here. Been a long time. Now's no time to practice. I'm thinking once you rattle their cages, Cap can lay into the Memmerdons before they take out the lot of us, and we'll follow close, take any guards out hand to hand.
Thumar had been listening quietly, but reasserted his command.
We have it then. Skilana, you will get them to unbar the door with the same scheme that got us here. Nastenzia, you will be clasping hands, or whatever it is you need to do to aid her. Create whatever illusion you see fit to allow the captain to enter and see to the leopard Mems. The rest of us will eliminate the guards. My boys have no lack of experience with bows. They will fall back and plunk the Mems until the captain closes, then switch to melee. Questions?
Skilana raised her hand and looked at the older woman.
Nastenzia, is it? How exactly will you assist me?
Nastenzia replied, I will grab hold of you, and you can draw on me, as you would a well, pull up the power you need. Skilana wrinkled her nose as if the notion were distasteful, or possibly just foreign.
Is there a limit? And do I need to take care not to draw too much?
No, Nastenzia said with her haughty smile. I am the focus of a grand wielder.
I have no earthly idea what that means, Skilana said. But I'm sure it is mighty impressive.
Nastenzia frowned.
It means the well is not limitless, but it is too deep for you to threaten the bottom. I can assist you in Sofjin without worry.
Skilana said,
If Sofjin vouches for you, that's enough for me.
Thumar looked around, nostrils flaring on his narrow nose, eyes fever bright.
Other questions?
No one said anything.
Good.
He closed his eyes and bowed his head.
May the gods of old preserve us, aid us, and help us rectify the wrongs brought on by false Emperor Sinead, so that we can pave the way for their own rightful return, expunge the false god who has risen in their place.
Thumar opened his eyes and abruptly started up the stairs as Braelar, Skilana, and Nastenzia hurried to catch up, with the rest of us following them. They reached the landing, which was large enough to accommodate most of our small group, with the remainder on the steps just below. Skilana looked everywhere around us, head pivoting with excruciating slowness, seemingly taking in each stone, crevice, crack, and shadow, just as she had in the streets of Aelspell, before working her weird skills on the Hornmen. Muldus whispered as guttural as a whisper could be.
Get on with it, witch.
Sofjin hissed.
She is preparing, you fool. Do you actually want to survive this? If so, shut your mouth and let her be.
Skilana continued examining methodically, then finally looked at Nastenzia.
You're sure this will work?
The older woman nodded, tight-lipped, as she grabbed Skilana's hand. Then Skilana looked at the rest of us and quietly said,
Don't move. Not a one of you. I will have a difficult enough time making the illusion stick without interference. Understood.
If Thumar and Braelar rankled at being addressed that way, they gave no indication, maybe respecting her abilities, even if the captain was itching to take off half her skull with Bloodsounder. Sofjin was alongside Skilana and looked down at her.
I didn't harry you before, but I'd suggest hurrying now, she said, her face drawn and pale, the lightning bolt vein blue on her sweaty forehead. If I fall over, it won't matter how elegant the illusion you wrought.
Some of the eagles disguised as leopards had their bows out already, arrows knocked, but hadn't drawn yet. All the other soldiers had their weapons in hand and had moved to the side away from the hatch in the middle of the door. Sofjin and Skilana would be the only ones immediately visible to whoever looked out. Skilana knocked 6 times, 2 quick knocks, followed by 4 spaced out more evenly. The panel opened from the other side, and a woman's face appeared, bronze and harsh-looking.
Skilana, you are unexpected, early. The check-in is in 10 day. It has not been a 10 day. This has been explained. What is it? Skilana looked up at the open panel. Is it? I have such a difficult time keeping track of these things. But that isn't the reason for my little visit.
The Myrmidon on the other side wasn't amused.
You might be the Emperor's little pet just now, but that carries no weight with us. Be quick about it, or be gone. What do you need?
Skilana replied.
Direct. I appreciate that. But speaking of Emperor Sinead, you might recall he sent his little pet out into the wild to track down some deserters, especially a Myrmidon deserter. Does that sound at all familiar to you?
The bronze Myrmidon narrowed her eyes and inspected Sofjin, but didn't respond.
Skilana said, There you go. Powers of deduction. Yes, this is she. Sofjin of the Jackal Tower. And while check-in isn't for a 10-day, this one won't last 10 more minutes. She is injured and has been separated from the frame for far too long.
The bronze woman looked back to Skilana.
That could very well be the true. Likely even, but no concern of mine. Not unless you have Imperial writ granting her early entrance.
Skilana blinked twice.
Given that Sinead is out there trouncing his enemies right now, I don't expect to be able to get his signature to satisfy you this moment. There simply isn't time. But you see, that's sort of the advantage to being a pet. I do have his attention, at least for now. So when I ride out to him, present this woman's corpse, and explain that she is dead because a guardian of the frame stuck to some ridiculous protocol instead of doing the smart thing and ensuring she was kept alive for questioning.
She shrugged her shoulders.
Well, I have a funny feeling he won't be amused. Call it a hunch. So, Lady Protocol, remind me of your name, please. I want to be sure I do give an accurate account.
The woman started to reply, but I heard a voice behind her. The bronze Myrmidon stepped away from the panel. There was some muffled arguing, and then a minute later, she appeared again.
You may enter, Skilana. Just remember, Sinead is famous for changing favorites. You won't be a pet for very long. I guess I will take the belly rubs while I can get them then.
The panel slid shut, and for that moment, my hatred of Skilana was at odds with my reluctant appreciation. What she lacked in power, she made up for in deviousness, guile, plucky charm, and verve. The soldiers all tensed as we listened to lock tumblers clink and clack and a large beam being drawn back on the other side. The door started to swing in, and Skilana pushed Sofjin through first, holding tight to Nastenzia's thin wrist as she followed. The bronze woman's eyes widened in surprise, clearly not recognizing or expecting the older woman. And when Braelar ran in behind the trio, she called out,
Breached!
And started to raise her arms. Braelar was too quick, snapping her arm out of the way with his buckler and bringing the flail heads around, both of them striking her squarely in the side of the head. I was glad I didn't have time to see the extent of the wound as she fell and the rest of us stormed into the room. Skilana had one hand out, maintaining whatever illusion she worked for as long as she could, drawing on Nastenzia to solidify it. Guards and war Myrmidons inside the room all turned to face the door, and it was clear they couldn't see those of us behind Skilana as they focused on Braelar and the Saldoon immediately behind him. He ran towards the next Myrmidon, a tall woman with tempestuous gray hair and a copper-scale cuirass who stretched her arms out, face intense as she splayed her fingers, and accomplished absolutely nothing. Whatever she hoped to fell Braelar with failed, which he recognized too late, trying to draw her sword as he advanced, but only getting it halfway out of the scabbard before the bloody flail heads came down. She tried blocking them with her arm, which proved a mistake, as it wasn't armored, and the flail broke her forearm. As the Myrmidon fell back, broken arm still up, he brought the flail heads around again, and she didn't manage to get anything between them and her face, which erupted in red. A leopard stumbled and grunted behind them, an arrow sticking through his bicep just below the mail sleeve, and he dropped his spear. When he bent over and broke the shaft off, another arrow plunged into his neck, and he toppled over. Like the battle with the Hornmen in the pre-dawn streets of Aelspell, and the skirmish with the Brunesmen as we captured Henlister, This was a wild melee, with pockets of combatants fighting each other all over the crowded circular room. While the Sildoon understood the benefit of forming up and fighting in units better than any soldiers alive, there simply wasn't much time, as eagles, jackals, and leopards engaged each other as best they could, though we at least had the element of surprise. Judging by the looks on the leopards' faces, we must have seemingly emerged from nowhere as we stepped out of the fabric of Skilana's illusion and attacked. I heard more arrows whizzing past as I followed close to Muldus and Rudgy as they moved towards a pair of leopards who saw us and had locked the edges of their shields together, spears angling over the tops as they advanced on us. Muldus raised his shield and had his falchion up, the blade resting on the embattled Merlin as he called out in his slurry growl,
"Behind me, Scribbler, you dumb horse son!"
I kept directly behind the pair. The spears had range on us, and we would have to close to eliminate that advantage. I kept my own shield up high, just below eye level, and positioned my curved sword across the top, for all the good it would do. Both leopards sent their spearheads flying. One slammed into Rudgy's shield with a thud, and the leopard pulled it out just as fast, while the other went between Muldus and Rudgy and right at my head. I managed to duck just enough that it clanged off the top of my helm. Muldus and Rudgy moved forward together, deflecting the spears as the two leopards retreated to try and maintain their range. One leopard feinted a thrust at Rudgy's head, trying to draw her shield up, and then directed the real attack at her legs. But she didn't bite on the thrust, slapping the spearhead away as she came in fast, and Muldus followed her lead, keeping pace as they closed. The leopards realized too late they had backed into the curved wall of the tower, and before they could fight for more space, Muldus and Rudgy were on top of them. The lieutenant caught the spear haft on the merlin of his shield, trapped the spearhead with his falchion as the leopard tried pulling it back, then stepped in, the thick blade whipping out in a horizontal blow. The leopard blocked it, but Muldus threw his weight behind his shield and slammed it into the other man's shield face, knocking him into the wall, pinning long enough for the falchion to come down low, driving into the leopard's exposed knee. The man cried out, crumpling, and Muldus rained more blows on him, blasting his defenses aside and surely breaking bones under the male Burnie with one wicked blow, before the next caught the soldier in the neck and finished him. Whatever Muldus had lost in balance or coordination, he made up for in being more vicious than ever. Once the pair of leopards was divided, Rudgy relied on her quickness, blocking a final spear thrust, then delivering a flurry of blows of her own, her sword a blur from high to low, left to right, back up, as she hooked the overwhelmed leopard's shield with hers, pulled it aside just enough, and dropped down, driving her sword up into the inside of the soldier's thigh. The leopard threw his head back to yell, and Muldus's blade came into the opening, striking the male coif but crushing the windpipe underneath as the man fell over, bleeding profusely from his leg, choking and gurgling as he writhed on the floor. Rudgy yelled at Muldus,
"A plaguing had him?"
Muldus yelled back,
"You're plaguing welcome, Sergeant. Now shut your—"
"Look out!"
I cried. Another spearhead shot out, striking Muldus in the meaty part of the shoulder just outside the lamellar cuirass, driving it into the male Burnie. Without thinking, I was already charging forward as the leopard drew the spear back to thrust again, and I rammed my shield into his arm, swinging my curved sword wildly, striking nothing. But I'd knocked the soldier off balance, and as he started to recover, Rudgy was there, blocking his spear away, slicing the leopard's hand just below his bazooband. He dropped his spear, and I pressed forward against his shield, pinning it against his body just long enough for Rudgy to step in, thrusting into his thigh just below the hem of his scale cuirass, then bringing the blade around in a tight circle and hitting him in the side of his exposed neck, and another to the front for good measure. The scale aventail prevented his throat being cut, and she didn't strike him hard enough to break his windpipe, but he was stunned, gagging, and she stepped behind him, dropped to a knee, and drove her sword between his legs. The leopard collapsed immediately, rolling on the ground, and I swallowed hard, stepping back and forcing myself not to look at the blood pooling underneath him. Muldoon spun me around by my shoulder.
You dumb shit, I told you.
You're plaguing Welcome, I said. There was blood around the broken links of mail, seeping through his gambeson, but not a huge amount. He pivoted his head around, trying to assess who to take out next, and I looked around the room as well. The eagles and jackals had made good use of the initial confusion, occupying the leopards so Braelar was free to advance and take out the other three war myrmidons. Well, two of them. Arrows from the eagles brought down the third. Thumar was standing above a dead leopard, his longsword in both hands, blood dripping off the last few inches of the blade, surveying the room as well. We'd done it. We'd taken the tower. There was only one dead eagle that I saw. I looked over at Nastenzia and Skilana. We probably couldn't have even bluffed our way into the tower if it hadn't been for her. But even if we had, we surely would have lost most or all the men if she hadn't assisted us here. After feeding a hate fire ever since Skilana used me and betrayed us, it was hard to imagine putting the fuel down and letting it die out. As eagles walked around the room killing the wounded leopards, Thumar called out to Braelar.
Well done, Captain, well done. Now it is your sister's turn.
Braelar was walking towards Muldoon, the spikes on the twin deserter heads hanging from the haft at his side, swaying as he moved, tiny drops of blood leaving a trail on the floor behind him. The deposed emperor turned to Sofjian.
Are you ready, Myrmidon?
She looked over at Nastenzia. The older woman stepped away from Skilana and joined her, and Sofjian said,
Yes, my lord. Let's do this while I'm still able.
Now that the chaos of combat was over, I finally had a chance to look around the room at the top of the tower. It was spare and simple, and not designed to be lived in. There were two small round windows letting in shafts of light, some tables and chairs along the wall, and that was essentially it. Except for the large frame in the middle of the room on the small dais. I'd barely even registered it before, my heart in my throat, wondering if I was about to die. But now I was able to take it in, and it, too, was simple, but awe-inspiring as well. The frame itself was a charcoal-colored stone, inlaid with threads of white. At first glance, I thought it was marble, but the pattern was unlike anything I'd seen before, wild whorls amid whorls. But what was so striking was, of course, what was in the frame itself, a rectangle composed of the same stuff as the god veil and the dome around Roxtiniac, pulsing, shifting, waves flowing into themselves like a square taken from a turbulent mystic sea. But unlike the god veil and dome, I felt no draw, smelled no vinegar, heard only the faintest hint of the thrum. The patch of pulsating energy was confined to such a relatively small space that it didn't produce the same effect. Sofjian told Thumar to accompany her and walked towards the frame with a lean Nastenzia alongside her. As the trio passed, I heard the focus say, "The deserters, as you call them, are the unquestioned masters of memory magic, but this is something even they did not fashion. It is beautiful." Sofjian replied, "That is not the word I would have chosen." The three of them stopped in front of the middle of the frame, a few feet away. Sofjian took Nastenzia's hand in her own while the rest of us watched. Then she looked over her shoulder and said, "Skilana, come." The smaller Myrmidon looked uncertain.
"As I told you, this isn't my realm of expertise. I don't think I can help you with this, Sofjian. In fact, I might actually impede you or get in your way.
Without turning around, Sofjian said, "Skilana, attend me now. My strength is not your strength, but I am attempting something it took multiple sisters to accomplish. Even with Nastenzia's consult and her considerable aid now, I will not be snuffed out because you neglected to help. Come." Skilana looked hesitant until Thumar spun around.
"Do it, girl, quickly. Regaining control will be pointless if we are trapped in this tower because you dawdled."
where before he'd always been lean and hungry, now that he was on the cusp of retaking the empire, his intensity seemed a raging fever. Skilana said,
"Yes, Your Grace,"
and walked forward, and for once, he didn't object to the usage. She stood on Sofjin's other side, the three women holding hands, and they all raised their arms up. Sofjin had to keep her right lower to accommodate the shorter Skilana, and she grunted once as she tried to extend her left, her wound clearly burning, but then said nothing else. The two Myrmidons and the Focus stood like that for a long time, frozen in front of the frame, a freeze of their own, three women so very different from one another, but united in this one effort. They remained unmoving, except for some slight trembling in Sofjian's left arm, while the rest of us watched. Two eagles checked the stairs for any signs that the leopards were rushing up for us, though if they were, that meant as Morgan and the others were dead, and we were likely next. Finally, Sofjin lowered both arms, and the other two women let go of her. She staggered briefly, reached out to steady herself on the stone frame, and then stood tall again. When she turned around, her face was as pale as Muldus's, almost as ashen as a deserter's even, and her eyes were wet with tears. There was a moment then, as the Myrmidons, Focus, and Emperor stood on the edge of the dais, a tableau that felt momentous, the fate of the Empire changing before our very eyes. Sofjin said, "It is done." Skilana looked at her, smiling, tears streaming down her face as well.
"You did it. You really did it."
"We did," Sofjin corrected. But Thumar reached up slowly towards the pulsing field in the frame.
"What? I don't..."
He looked at Sofjin, one finger pointing towards the frame, as if in accusation.
"Nothing feels different. It is not even as before, when I had my own Myrmidons. I feel nothing."
While the Myrmidons looked triumphant, and the deposed Emperor looked confused, Nastenzia alone seemed shocked, stricken, horrified even. She turned to Sofjin very slowly and quietly said,
"You are free.
And you are doomed." The field of warping, weaving energy in the frame flickered, vibrating, the tang of vinegar emanating strongly, producing a thrum even louder than that of the God Veil, and for a moment I thought it might explode or flood the room. But then everything abruptly stopped. The veil energy and stench and noise disappeared, as if it had never been captured at all. All that was left was an empty stone frame. Thumar started to draw his longsword as Braelar reached for Bloodsounder.
"Soph, what have you—"
"What needed doing, brother," she said. "I will only tell you this once. You should run."
Then she grabbed Nastenzia's wrist again, faced Thumar, and her other arm shot up like a weapon, fingers splayed. The deposed Emperor flew back away from her, dropping his longsword, and unlike the other times she had used memory craft to drive a man mad, shredding his veils and assaulting him with too many sensations for his mind to withstand, Thumar didn't flail or shriek or tear at his eyes or face. He simply staggered back, and then fell to the stone floor like a puppet whose strings had been abruptly severed. Skilana grabbed Nastenzia's other wrist, and it was as if the trio disappeared completely. While I'd always seen trace hints that my mind was being fooled when Skilana had done this before, a warping as she moved, the illusion was flawless this time, as she drew on the Focus for power. They were completely invisible. That didn't stop the eagles with their bows from drawing arrows and loosing them. Two shafts flew through the air where the women had been a few moments before, but only bounced off the curved wall behind the frame, one shattering. The rest of the Sildoon drew their weapons, but had no idea what to do next. Braelar called out,
"Block the door, you fools,"
as he started running for it himself. Two more arrows flew, but again only ricocheted off the wall, clattering to the floor in broken pieces. One of the bowmen shot the next arrow more slowly, not blindly loosing, but gauging the distance from where the women disappeared and where the other arrows had missed, and then released. This arrow bounced off the wall, sparking. But it must have nicked Nastenza or Skilana first, as the illusion was spoiled for a moment, and the three women were visible right before the door. Both eagles by the door were startled the trio were so close, and that moment of inaction was too much. Sofjian drew on Nastenza again, arm outstretched, and the pair of Seldun flew back as if physically struck, slamming into the wall as if buffeted by an invisible deserter. Skilana must have thought they were clear and reached for the door instead of re-establishing connection with the focus. Muldus pulled his throwing axe off the back of his belt, cocked his arm, and let fly. The weapon spun three times and struck Skilana in the upper back. She cried out, letting go of the door, falling to her knees. Sofjian stepped past her, looking down at Skilana as she pulled Nastenza after her through the opening, as two more arrows thunked into the heavy wooden door. Braylar called out,
"Rudgy, check Thumar!"
But it sounded as if he knew the effort was pointless, and then ordered,
"Eagles, jackals, after them, you shrunken cocks! Run them down, alive if possible!"
Several soldiers ran out of the room, their stolen leopard gear jingling and rattling as they pursued Sofjian and Nastenza down the stairs. Rudgy looked up as she knelt next to Thumar, slowly running her fingers over his still open eyes, shaking her head. The exiled emperor had returned, but the empire would forever elude him. I heard a scraping and looked over and saw that Skilana was still alive, sitting up as she leaned her shoulder against the wall, breathing heavily, coughing a little, red spittle on her lips. The throwing axe was lying next to her in a small puddle of blood. Muldus stalked towards her, wobbling slightly, falchion in hand, and Braylar called out,
"Muldus, no! I want to question her!"
The pale boar looked back at the captain as if he were mad.
"She just helped your bitch sister kill the rightful emperor and fuck us all in the arse. What's the plaguing question?"
Braylar ignored him and squatted down in front of the wounded Myrmidon.
"I have to say, Skilana, while I have done my share of betraying and been betrayed in turn, this is a first. I have never been betrayed twice by the same person."
Skilana looked up, eyes glassy, and smiled, her teeth bloody. She wiped away some red spit bubbles with the back of her hand and coughed before replying,
"First for me too."
Braylar watched her, lips tight.
"You were working with Sofjian this entire time, weren't you?"
Skilana nodded once and coughed some more.
"Who has control? Of the Myrmidons?"
Skilana's chin started to drop, but Braylar cupped it in his hand and tilted her head up.
"Who has control?"
She swallowed hard, her entire body convulsing, and she said,
"You just don't get it."
Braylar squeezed her chin, and she dripped bloody spit on his palm. I said, "No one. No one has control. The Myrmidons are free, aren't they?" Skilana looked over at me, laughed, and coughed immediately, a deep, racking thing.
Reason I knew I liked you."
Muldus repeated the word as if it was totally foreign.
"Free? What are you plaguing going on about, free?"
Braylar released Skilana's face and stood up.
"I was a fool. Of course they are free. Everything she told Darzak, us, it was simply to keep her close in case a way presented itself to sever all the bonds. She never intended to hand the tethers to Thumar or anyone else. Every Myrmidon in the Empire, they are beholden to no one but themselves now."
Rudgy said,
"But what did Nastenza mean? Going on about doom like that? It sounded like she was as surprised as we were."
Braylar started towards the door.
"I have no idea. Let's go find out, yes?"
He looked back at Skilana, and then to me. I leave her fate to you, archivist. Let her die slowly, or take pleasure in putting a blade in her, even if it gives her mercy she doesn't deserve. The choice is yours. The captain, lieutenant, and sergeant rushed out. I listened to them taking the stairs quickly, descending, their footfalls growing distant. Then looked over at Skilana. Her eyes were locked with mine. I bent down to one of the eagles Sofjin had slain with memory magic, pulled a Soroka off his belt, and stared at the unbloodied blade. Skilana said,
"Probably been hoping for this reunion, huh?"
And then she hacked and wiped her bloody mouth again. I nodded slowly, hoping to stoke my anger again, to build it into a furious bonfire. But it wouldn't light. There was only ash. My feet moving of their own accord, I walked towards her, limbs heavy. Skilana tried to smile and only spit up a little blood instead, then said,
"Saw you fighting come a long way."
"I nearly got myself killed," I replied, realizing those were the first words I spoke directly to her since she first betrayed me in Sunrak.
"But you didn't. I did."
She convulsed again.
"Dying hurts."
"Dying slowly, yes," I said. "The others, that Sofjin slew, they died quickly. For once. At least there's that." Skilana looked at the Soroka in my hand.
"I don't deserve it, I know. But..."
She swallowed hard, and it looked like even that was agony.
"Please."
I crouched down. Shooting a man with a crossbow was one thing. So was trying to kill a man who was trying to do the same to me in the heat of battle. But this... Skilana said,
I just wanted to say, for what it's..."
I drove the blade into her chest, pressing hard with both hands and all my weight, keeping it parallel to the ground to avoid getting it hung up on a rib. I closed my eyes after it punctured where I aimed, and just left of her sternum. I felt her jerk twice under me, her legs kicking out into mine a few times quickly, until they suddenly stopped. I pulled the Soroka out, ignoring the small sucking sound it made coming free of her flesh, and stood up without bothering to look at her or close her eyes. She might have deserved a merciful death, but she didn't deserve anything beyond that. And then I headed down the stairs after the others. Chapter 43. I exited the tower door and was confronted with the scene I'd hoped not to see but feared the most. Sofjin and Estensia were nowhere to be seen, and the Sildoon, leopards, jackals, and eagles, were lying everywhere, as the Memrodon must have drawn deep into the focus well to fell them all so quickly. It looked as if she had slain the leopards and one or two eagles, but had only stunned or debilitated the jackals, as Braelar and his men were rousing several, slapping faces, shaking them hard as if they were just experiencing a drunken stupor. I had to bite my lip to avoid laughing. Not the natural laughter that comes from witnessing something truly funny, but the nervous, hiccupy, unhinged laughter born of madness, or mania, or exhaustion. Vindura was already awake, but disoriented, leaning against the wall, his legs not ready to support him. Some of the other jackals were in the same condition, as Morgan was one of the last to rise, but he seemed to recover his wits the fastest, perhaps for having so few. He looked at Braelar, eyes beady under his eyebrow shelf.
"Bitch sister, betrayed us, just like I done told you she would."
The captain said, "So she did." He addressed the rest of the Sildoon.
We have to get to the Well of Stairs, now.
One of the eagles stepped forward.
Where is Lord Thumar?
Another soldier who had been with us in the tower replied simply, Dead, as he glared at the captain, as if he had slain the deposed emperor himself. Braelar breathed heavily out his nostrils.
We were all betrayed, but him, most of all.
As Morgan shook his head,
Thumar, dead, us, betrayed, all on account of you.
He walked towards his captain, towered over him, beard seeming to bristle as he said,
This is on you, all of it, every last bit of it, on you, every last plaguing dead soldier, your own hue-plaguing spear, boys we lost to those deserter cunts, and now the Emperor who trusted you to set things right, all...
Muldus stepped forward.
Watch your tongue, Ogre.
As Morgan looked at Muldus briefly,
What are you going to do about it? Plaguing nothing, that's what. You know I'm telling it true.
He looked at Braelar again.
This plaguing bastard has a lot to answer for.
Muldus laid his hand on the hilt of his falchion.
This plaguing bastard is your plaguing commanding officer, and no matter what you got to say, you'll say it with respect. You hear me?
As Morgan shook his head.
Not any plaguing more he ain't.
He snapped an elbow out, catching Muldus in the side of the head, sending him spinning onto the floor, then took one step and grabbed Braelar by the neck, pushing him against the wall, lifting him onto the balls of his feet.
You ain't cap of nothing no more, you hear me? You're done.
Braelar grabbed Asmorgon's wrist, not to pull it down, which was impossible, but to pull himself off the ground, and used his legs to push off the wall, kicking out at the lieutenant's groin. But Asmorgon must have expected it, as he turned and caught the blow on his thigh, and then grabbed Braelar's neck with the other hand, and held him dangling in the air, ignoring the captain's kicks and punches. Vinduru drew his sword, as did Ruggie, but Bank and an eagle stepped between them and Asmorgon, weapons drawn as well. And then everyone was pulling steel, several eagles siding with Asmorgon, some uncertain, and the rest of the jackals standing alongside Vinduru. I pulled my sword from the scabbard as well, but yelled,
This is madness! We're in the citadel, surrounded by enemies! We have to get out of here, not kill each other!
Braelar's face was turning purple as Asmorgon choked the life out of him. Then the huge man screamed, dropped the captain, and nearly fell over himself. Muldus had rolled over and driven his Soroka through one side of Asmorgon's knee and clean out the other. The ogre instinctively tried to kick Muldus, but his leg buckled and he staggered back several steps. And then chaos erupted. Blades flashing as Bank and some eagles fought Vinduru, Ruggie, and the remaining jackals. I pulled the buckler off my belt, kept my sword hand behind it, and shuffled sideways to move closer to Vinduru. Braelar was on his side, clutching his throat, sputtering, as Asmorgon pulled the Soroka out of his knee, bellowing as blood started to flow freely down his leg. The blade looked tiny in his oversized hand, and he threw it aside, bent over with effort to retrieve a discarded spear on the ground, then staggered forward towards the captain again, dragging his damaged leg behind, beady eyes full of murder. I circled behind the jackals, barely catching one sword blow with the buckler, but breaking one of Muldus's first rules, blinding myself with it. I stepped back as I lowered the buckler to see my assailant, sure that I was about to be cut down by the next blow. But a jackal interceded and slashed the eagle across the forearm. I scooted around behind the other combatants, but wasn't going to make it there in time. I called out,
Muldus, the captain!
Muldus was getting to his feet unsteadily, embattled shield strapped on his left arm, the falchion in his right hand, and turned to see Asmorgon nearly on top of Braelar. The pale boar stepped in, deflecting an eagle blow on the way, and yelled,
Asmorgon, you horse cunt.
The huge lieutenant turned, and even though he was bleeding profusely and hobbled, he came at Muldus, spear held in two hands like a quarterstaff. Muldus not only waited for him, but retreated a few steps, and a huge grin split as Morgan's beard, ugly and the color of earwax.
That's right, you little cunt. I'm going to kill the lot of you.
Muldus's retreat shocked me until I realized he was drawing as Morgan away from the prone captain, probably hoping the huge lieutenant would bleed more and weaken. I was moving to help Muldus when an eagle knocked into me, driven back by the Sildoon he was fighting. As he turned to see whether I was friend or foe, I instinctively swung something. I had poor form, worse aim, and had inexplicably chosen to attack with a buckler over the sword. But it clanged off the man's helm, sending reverberations up my arm, and distracted the eagle just enough for the jackal to send him backpedaling, trying to deflect a combination of blows. I looked up and saw Morgan beating Muldus back, gripping the spear in the middle, the spearhead and butt spike lashing out from either end, high, low, keeping Muldus on the defensive. Muldus blocked the spearhead with the shield, and the falchion came out in a blur, but as Morgan caught it on the haft and stepped in more, spreading his grip as he slammed the haft into the shield and sent Muldus flying back into the wall, his helm banging off the stones. I stepped in, sword high, screaming, knowing I was going to be too late, as Morgan ripped the shield aside with the lugs on the spearhead and drew back to drive the spear into Muldus's exposed belly. And then the left side of Morgan's head exploded in red mist as the flail heads caved in the huge lieutenant's skull and took off a good chunk of it as they ricocheted away. But to be safe, Breelar whirled Bloodsounder around and struck Morgan again as he was falling over, the spiked deserter heads thankfully hitting him in the back of the skull this time, so I couldn't see the damage. The huge lieutenant was on the stones, blood pooling around his head and knee, and Breelar stepped over the body without another glance. He looked at me.
Stay on my shield side.
I nodded, obeying, and the captain looked at Muldus, who was shaking off the effects of being slammed into the wall.
Lieutenant?
Muldus pushed himself off the wall.
Cap?
And the three of us waded into what remained of the melee. Only a few eagles and Bank still fought on, backing towards the entrance to the frame tower. When they saw they were outnumbered and that Morgan was dead, they ran into the tower, slamming and bolting the door behind them. Muldus and some jackals started after them, but Breelar called out,
Leave them. They're trapped. Leave them for the leopards.
The lieutenant spit against the wall.
Gods and devils, but this sure turned to shit in a hurry, didn't it?
Breelar twitch smiled and rasped,
Are you about to lead another mutiny, lieutenant?
Muldus shook his head.
Are you plaguing kidding me? I got enough trouble just keeping the sergeants in line. No desire to wrangle mouthy lieutenants on top of it. Your throat okay?
Breelar looked down at the blood dripping off the flail heads. It wasn't the first time I've been choked. He looked at Muldus and nodded once.
Thank you. For what, Cap? I gave you a hand, you gave me one. We're square. But you mentioned something about getting out of here.
So I did. The captain turned to the remaining jackals. To the Well of Stairs. If anyone attempts to intercept us, we kill them all and keep going. Stealth is no longer our objective. Survival is. We navigated around the bodies of jackals, eagles, and leopards scattered around the tower door, and ran down the corridor, weapons out, gear clattering, our mission in shambles. Chapter 44 In the corridor leading to the well, we passed a battalion of leopards heading the other way at a jog, their own weapons and gear jangling, clacking, slithering. My heart was lodged in my throat, but even though we had obviously been in a fight, we were still dressed as leopards, so they didn't stop us. The closer we got to our exit, the more I felt like my nerves were tied in fiery knots. As we descended the well, I looked up, half expecting to see Bank or Softjin or someone else looking down, ready to fill us full of arrows or knock us off the stairs with memory magic. But no one appeared. but we made it through the garden and down the stairs along the wall of the well without incident. After swapping out our gear